Wow, what an atmosphere. Don't let it go nowhere, because I need you for the next 35 minutes in this house. Everybody say amen, because I don't have a sermon. I just feel like the Lord's given me a word, and I just feel like I got a bunch of stuff that I just have put together over the last few weeks as I've been studying, and we're going to go a little deeper into the principle of restoration in our life. Amen. Our kids are staying in. The nursery can be dismissed. Sister Plum has the nursery. God bless Sister Plum and the children. Everybody else can stay in here. Hallelujah. Amen. Who would be honest? Who would be honest and say, through circumstances that were out of my control, or maybe some that were in my control? And if anybody was curious, I had Brother David pray for me. And you know why I did? Because God told me to go get Brother David to pray for you. That's it. I don't know if he has any special anointing in his hands. I just know when you said that, brother, the Lord told me, said, go get Brother David to pray for you. So I just got the oil and got brother. I'm tired of what it may look like to people. I don't care. If God tells me to get to somewhere and you're in the way, I'm going to be pushing you out of the way. We got to obey the Spirit of God, especially in an atmosphere like this. We can't sit around and worry about what people think. That's overrated. It's what God thinks. Somebody say amen. Who would be honest and say you've lost some things that you want restored back to your life? I think all of us would say that. And we talked a little bit about that the first week, the first Sunday of the year. And in September of 24, God laid on my heart that this was going to be a year of restoration to this house. And it is going to be a year of restoration to this house. And if you don't believe it now, that's fine. There's always a mixed bag of people that have faith and doubters. That's in every congregation. You got some saying, come on, preach it. I'm with you. You got some saying, I don't know. But I promise you, before the last day of this year, you're going to know this is a house of restoration. Amen. You're going to know that this is a house of restoration. Of course, we started. Who was here that first Sunday? Okay, so there were several that wasn't. We preached out of Joel chapter 2. Y'all remember the story? Israel was not living up to their elect purpose. Because you are God's elect, you're not like other people. You're different. He's handpicked you. And there's a purpose and a destiny that God has on your life, and there's a level of standard that you got to live up to. And they were not doing it. So God, he said, I've got an army coming. He called it my army. But see, God don't fight like we fight. He don't come out with guns and tanks and airplanes. He sends bugs. He said, I got an army that's headed your way. It's called an army of locusts. He said, they're going to devour everything, and what they don't get, the caterpillar's going to get. And what the caterpillar going to leave, the canker worm and the palmer worm going to be right behind them. And he said, make no mistake about it, I sent this to you. This didn't come from Satan. This came from me. And I did it in an effort to nudge you. Because sometimes we get a little off track, and God has to send a little something to nudge us. And God dried up the vats of oil, the vats of wine. He dried everything up. They didn't have nothing. But they turned their heart back to God. And the premise of the book of Joel is that you have to repent and turn your heart back to God. Now, that's not all there is to restoration. We're going deeper today. But that's the first step. You got to turn your heart back to God. And the good thing about God is he's not like us. We get people that come back that want to be restored. Well, we like to put them through a program for 5 years. And I'm not against somebody, you know, developing trust. I understand that. But the minute they turned their heart, Brother Duran, the minute God began to send back everything that they had lost. Amen. The barns became full. There was wheat on the floor. And the vats flowed with wine and oil. Somebody say amen. Amen. Joel chapter 2. I'm going to go back there for just a minute this morning. Hallelujah. Joel chapter 2 verse 25. And I will restore. Somebody shout it. Now listen, hold on. I said that and it was quiet. I grew up in a Baptist church. And if you talk too much, the deacon would take you out. Y'all don't know anything about that. It was a quiet church. They wouldn't let you talk back to the preacher. If you got out of line, they'd get one of the board members to come get you and take you outside. You can talk back here. I say you can talk back here. You don't have to be quiet. You can respond. Somebody say amen. I will restore. Everybody say, I will restore. Watch what God starts with. He says, to you the years. I'm going to start with the years because you notice God didn't start with stuff. Because you can get your own stuff back. Your buddy can give you a job. Your friend can loan you a car. Somebody can let you move in their basement. But you know what? You can't never get time back. They ain't but one. When the adversary has slipped in and put you in a season where you feel like you've lost time, they ain't but one person that can slip in and give you time back. And we've already declared His name. His name is Jesus. Come on, somebody. You can find another job. You can get another house. You can get another car. But there ain't nobody that can give you the years back but God. Somebody say amen. He said, I'm going to give you back the years. The locust had eaten, the canker worm, caterpillar, the palmer worm. He said, this is my great army which I sent among you. He said, you're going to eat in plenty. That's where we're headed. Enough of barely getting by. Some of you folks that are barely getting by, listen to me. You're going to eat in plenty this year. You need to receive that word. And be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God. For He had dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. They shall know. You got to catch this. That I am in the midst of Israel. God was in the midst of Israel then. He's in the midst of us now. And God said, they're going to look at how I took everything you lost. Boy, I'm about to shout all over this church. They're going to look at everything you lost. And when you get it back, they're going to know that I was in the midst. Gonna be no doubt that God was in this house. You ever seen somebody's life so radically restored? You looked at it and said, that wasn't nothing but the Lord right there. You know that guy I sent you the picture of that was on the ventilator for 7 days? He's at the house this morning. They've already released that. And every time I think about that story, I say, I know God was in the midst of that hospital room. Well, He's not the only one that's going to be restored this year. You got some family members that doubt this truth. You got friends that have mocked you for your relationship with God. But they're going to know. They're going to know when it's over. That God is in the midst of you. You may be seated. God bless you this morning. Because God's going to blow our mind in 2025. There are two competing concepts and ideas about restoration. There are two concepts that you have to understand. Stick with me. There is the first concept of having the thing that you lost given back. That'd be like the first Adam that came, that God gave him everything that we needed. But because he was disobedient and walked away from God, we lost our power and authority in the earth realm. So God sent the second Adam, somebody shout. And the second Adam, Jesus, came. And Jesus came with the death, with the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And he reached back and got the authority that we lost, that Adam forfeited. And now we have a name that is highly exalted. And now you don't always have to pray for stuff. Some stuff you gotta speak to. We've already talked about that. There's a lot of stuff that we pray for that God's waiting for you to use the authority and the power that the second Adam got back. And you start speaking to your mountain. Start speaking to your sickness. Start speaking to your problem. Start speaking to the trouble. Quit praying about it and get up and use your tongue, which has power in life. And quit waiting around for God to do it when God's already given you power and authority that you can do it. Somebody shout unto God this morning with a voice of triumph and give Him a good hand clap of praise. He said, let the weak say, I am strong. He said, let the poor man say, I am rich. And this is going to be a year of restoration. And if I got to preach to myself every day and have faith, I'm coming through this year better than I entered this year. I'm coming through stronger than I am right now. I'm coming out of this year healthier than I am right now. I'm coming through this year with more anointing than I have right now, because we're going to get back everything that we lost. Somebody shout amen. And then there's the concept of restitution. Restitution is also involved in restoration. But restitution has a little different twist. Restitution is going beyond what was taken. You remember the story of Zacchaeus? A little short guy that climbed the sycamore tree just so he could see Jesus. And then when he got to the top of the sycamore tree, you remember the story? He says, salvation has come to my house. And when his heart was so convicted, he said, I have wronged all these people. I have cheated these folks. I've taken their money. He said, I'm not just going to give them back what I took. He said, I'm going to give them back fourfold what I took. And he restored back to them fourfold. You remember the story? And so restitution is about restoration, but it's about going further. You remember the story of Job, who was trapped in this war between God and Satan. He didn't understand what was happening in the cosmos, but you know, they were rolling the dice with Job. Well, if you can do this, I bet I'll curse you. And Job didn't have a clue what was going on, but he held on to his faith through his sickness, through his problems, through his family, through all the issues he had. And at the very end, he didn't just get restored. He got double for his trouble. I want to preach to some folks in here this morning. Some of you content with just getting back what you lost. I'm not content with just getting back what I lost. I'm getting back more than I lost. I'm getting back more than he took from me. I'm getting back. This church is getting back more than we've lost. You need to shout on that right now. There are people up under the sound of my voice. You've lost in 2024. You're still losing in this year, but you got to make your mind up. This is my year, and I'm coming out of this year better than I went into it. And God is going to restore back. He's going to restore back to my family. He's going to restore it fourfold, just like Zacchaeus gave it back. I got it coming back from the north, the south, the east, and the west. I wish I had some help in here right now. Stick with me. Mark chapter 3. I got to read a text. And he entered again into the synagogue. And there was a man there with a withered hand. They watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And Jesus said unto the man with the withered hand, interesting, he told him to stand forth, or stretch forth. And he said unto him, he says, it's lawful to do good on the Sabbath, to evil to save a life or to kill, but they held their peace. And when he had looked round about with anger and grieved for the hardness of the hearts, he said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was not healed. It was restored, whole as the other one. The word restored in the text, it means to create a new structure. Now let me give you a few points out of this text this morning. The first point that is interesting to me is that the man didn't ask to be healed. The man was just standing there in the crowd. And when Jesus went into the crowd, the man was just standing there kind of minding his own business. But Jesus called him out. Because there's some things that you live with that you're okay with that Jesus ain't okay that you live with. There's some problems you got that you never bring to the altar and you just stand back in the crowd, but Jesus ain't okay with those problems. Jesus wants to get right down to that place that is vulnerable and right down to that place that is troubled. And Jesus didn't say anything to him. The man did not come like the rest of those. There's so many places in the gospel where there were people that tracked Jesus down and said, Rabbi, Rabbi, will you heal my daughter? My servant is sick. Rabbi, Rabbi, I have a son or daughter that's possessed with an evil spirit. Would you come and do that? The man didn't say none of that. He was just standing there. You know why he was standing there? He was okay with his withered hand. You'd be surprised how many people come to church and they're okay with stuff in their life that hadn't been restored. And he had grown accustomed to walking around with a hand that was dysfunctional. And even though he was okay with a hand that was dysfunctional, Jesus wasn't okay with his hand being dysfunctional. And he tells the man something interesting. He says, stretch out your hand. And this man does something that is very interesting because he did something completely opposite than we do. Jesus didn't tell him which hand to stretch out. He's got a good one. He's got a bad one. Most of the time, we stretch out our good hand. We don't want nobody to see our bad hand. Y'all not going to help me this morning. We like to hide the withered hand. We don't want nobody to see that there's a problem. We don't want nobody to see that there's an issue. But Jesus had this way of creating an atmosphere where people were comfortable stretching out their weaknesses and their withered hands, amen, in the presence of Jesus. If you've ever been to a church where somebody looked down at you or talked about you because your issues, I'm so sorry about that. That ain't never going to happen at this church. And let me tell you what, the people that look down on you because you got a few problems, Jesus is more angered at their issue of judgmentalism than he is about the few problems that you got in your life. This place is always going to be a place and an atmosphere where we can all come in here together and look at each other and go, you know what? I ain't got it all together, but you know what? You ain't got it all together, but we can all get around the altar and stretch out our withered hand, and God can restore us, and God can make us new, and God can help us. Quit showing God your good hand. God don't want to see your good hand. Why don't you stretch out the problem to God and let God see the issue that you're dealing with? We want to hide that withered hand. Well, nobody to see that my hand is withered. Well, you don't think God already knows it's withered? I don't want everybody to know my marriage is withered. You better get over that. You better come to the altar with your spouse. Bring your kids and gather in. Somebody put some oil on me. Hey, we got some problems in this house. We need some help in this house. We got some dysfunction. We've grown accustomed to it. But you know what? God's not okay with it. We don't want nobody to see that. Jesus had this way of creating an atmosphere where it didn't matter what you had going on in your life. You are to always feel invited in this atmosphere to bring your problems and your troubles to God. Somebody shout amen. Amen. I I pondered this. God, I know I got to turn to you. Joel said that. I know that's a step. Sometimes you go, God, how are you going to do it? You ever done that? You ever ask God how? God, how are you going to do this? It's amazing in the text. Stick with me. He told the man, he said, you gotta step forward. The first thing you got to do is you got to stretch out your hand. You can't hide your issue. Whatever you need restored, you need to be stretching it out to God this morning. But the second thing he told him, he said, you got to step forward. Now, I want everybody to hear me right now. You need to dig in very deep. The irony to restoration is that the irony to restoration is we always think we got to reach back. Stick with me. And God's fixing to do something in this man's life. We don't know how his hand got withered. Could have been childbirth. Could have been an accident. He could have been on the job site. Something could have fell on him. We don't know. But God's fixing to do something in this man's life. And he's fixing to bring something from the past to the present. And the irony of restoration is this. When there's something in your past that you desire to bring to your present, God always requires a step forward in your future. You didn't get that. Let me go over here. Let me go this side. The irony of restoration is that when you desire for something in your past to come to your present, God always requires you to take a step forward. And when you take a step forward, then God reaches back to your past and grabs the thing you've been wanting into your present. And he pulls it into your present when he sees you take a step forward. Because nowhere in the Bible does it talk about you getting back what you lost by reaching back. If you want restoration to come to your life, you got to take a step forward. And I'm preaching to people under the sound of my voice. You got to move forward. I know they hurt you, but you got to move forward. I know you're angry about it, but you got to move forward. I know you're bitter about it and you can't forgive, but you got to learn how to forgive somehow. You got to move forward. I know the divorce was bad, but you're still talking about it 9 years later. I know they hurt you, but you're still talking about it 15 years later. And God's wanting to bring restoration to your life, but he's not reaching back to your past and putting anything in your present until you learn to take a step forward. You got to leave your today and embrace your tomorrow if you ever going to be restored. That's a word. You need to get that in your spirit this morning. That's a word from God. See, we want God to just wave a wand and me to hang on to my unforgiveness and me to hang on to my hurt and me to hang on to what they did to me and sit around and let's talk about it and let's just get angry about it and let's just get mad about it. And we want God to just be kind and wave a wand. It don't work that way. You got to move forward. You need to just elbow your neighbor and say, hey, we got to move forward. You got to go forward. You got to get out of the mess you're in. Because when you get stuck, it locks your life in grief. And it locks you in depression. And it locks your mind into anxiety. But we got to make our mind up. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, I got stuff in my past that can't be restored. And God's saying, let me tell you something. There ain't nothing in your past that can't be restored. This is the year of restoration. And God is going to restore what the palmer worm, the canker worm, the locust, and the caterpillar had ate. What do you need restored this morning? Stretch forth your withered hand. You need your marriage restored. You need your health restored. You need your prodigal to come home. We need backsliders in the house. What do you need restored? Talk to God about it. Clap your hands one more time to him. Isaiah said, remember not the former things, nor the things of old. For behold, I do a new thing. I'm coming out of this year new. I already look good. I'm going to look better. You sure do look pretty sitting out there, but guess what? You're going to look prettier by the end of 2025. I'm already healthy, but I'm going to be healthier when I come out of 225. I already got a little strength, but I'm going to be stronger when I come out of 2025. Hey, I got a little bit of money right now, but I'm going to have more money when I come out of 225. Hey, we got a good crowd this morning. We're going to have a bigger crowd by the time we get to December of 2025. We're going to baptize a few people already. We're going to baptize more before the year is over. I will restore. Somebody shout amen. God wants to create new structures. That's what the word restore means. You ever sit around and just think about the stuff you've lost? Y'all never do that? You ever sit around and think about, Lord, that relationship I got into, all the time I wasted? You just think, man, boy, that was such a waste. Or you think about maybe a bad business deal or something like that. Or maybe you made an investment thinking you was going to get something out of it and it flopped. You think about stuff you lose. I spent 52 months inside of a federal prison. 52 months. And I used to sit in there and I used to think to myself, my Lord, I'm sitting here wasting 4 years of the best years of my life. From 26 to 30. I sat there and I thought, wow. But see, I didn't know God could redeem years. I didn't know enough about the Bible then. I didn't know that God could give me time back. And when I look back on that, I really didn't lose anything. Because God used that to prep me and get me ready for where I was going. And you got to understand, you've not lost anything in God that God can't give back. You got to understand that. You just have to stretch forth the problem and then you got to move on from it. You can't get caught up. I know they hurt you when you was a child. I know that. But you got to step forward out of that. I know the rejection hurt, but you got to move on. Or it's going to prohibit God from reaching back into your past and restore it into your present. Because God's got a way that He does things. When I got out of prison, I went home to the halfway house. Boy, I'd have been through some stuff. Y'all have no idea. Boy, sometimes I look over my life, I'm like, good Lord. Now, most of it was my bad decisions. I'm not, you know, God will work through your bad decisions, though. He'll try to make you smarter if you ain't hard-headed. I'm pretty hard-headed. Y'all see that flat spot right there? That's from bumping into the tree so much. I remember being at halfway house. I said, I gotta find me a church. I told God, I'm not like some of these folks today, and I'm not saying that with any arrogance, but we got a lot of these folks that just church hop. I told the Lord, I said, I don't even know what I'm looking for. I've never been to an apostolic Pentecostal church. I don't even know what I'm looking for. You tell me where you want me to go. We got to quit trying. We're getting too old to just do stuff our way, folks. I'm talking about creating new structures is what the word restoration means. If you want restoration in your life, sometimes you got to. You know why I didn't go back to prison? Because I created a new structure. I ain't running with the folks I used to run with. I'm not hanging out with the dope boys anymore. I'm not staying out at the club all night. I got new friends. I got new acquaintances. I got new places I go. I'm not going back there because I got a whole new system I live by. And I got the phone book out. Y'all, this is a long time ago, the phone book. I looked at the churches, and there was three churches in the area, Tallahassee. And so anyway, I took the names down, didn't know anything about them, put them in an envelope. I put them in an envelope. I prayed and fasted over 3 days. I was at halfway house. Woke up on the third morning, the Lord spoke to me. He said, go to Soulsport United Pentecostal Church. I didn't know anything about it. Didn't know if it's a big church, small church, white church, black church. Didn't know anything about it. You don't have to. When God directs your steps, you're good. Walked in that church. I never left that church till I came here. Never left there. Walked in. It's just a, you know, everybody wants to bounce around because they're looking for something that fits them. But you ain't never going to grow bouncing around. You got to find somewhere to get planted. When I got to that church, there were 12 preachers in front of me. When I left, I was the assistant pastor. You know what would have happened if I'd have bounced around? There'd have been other preachers there, and I wouldn't have been there. But see, nobody, I don't need to get off on that this morning. I'm trying to talk about restoration. The assistant pastor at the time I got there was Mike Seal. Some of y'all know Mike Seal. You know Brother Seal, don't you? He was the assistant pastor there. And he took a liking to me, and he took a mentorship to me. He said, Brother Knowles, he said, you're 30 years old. You've never been in Pentecost. You've never been around this. He said, God's going to have to catch you up because God's got a work for you to do. He laid his hands on me. I didn't have a clue at the time what all that meant. And he prayed God would restore the years so that the years that I lost really wasn't a loss. God gave them back. And I can honestly say God restored them years to me. And I'm telling you right now, there's some of you that have lost some things. But if you'll create some new structures in your life. See, God don't want to get you back to the place that you were when you lost it, or you'll lose it again. He wants you to create a new structure in your life so that when you get back to that place, the thing that took it from you won't take it again. If He restores me back to the place I was with the same mindset, you walk out of prison, but you go right back to prison. But God wants to restore you back to a place that's greater than you were with a new mindset and outlook so that there's a new structure so that you don't go back to the thing. There's some things we don't need to go back to. There's some places we don't need to be. Come on, somebody. And when I come through this year, I'm creating new structures in my life right now that are going to take me to newer heights of restoration with God before this year is over. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise right now. There's some of you been robbed in your marriage. And if you don't create a new structure, you'll get robbed again. There's some of you, if you get robbed in your money, if you don't create a new structure for how you deal with your money, you'll lose that money again. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. David shows up at Ziklag, the Bible says. And the Bible says, when David showed up at Ziklag, that the Philistines had come. They took his wives, his children, and burned down the houses of David. David came back and saw what happened. And the Bible says all of his servants and his soldiers turned on him. Well, church folks turn on you quick, won't they? So you know what David did? He had to go encourage himself in the Lord. Because sometimes you got to be your own pastor, your own bishop, your own prophet. You can't wait to the praise team and all that. You got to find you a spot and encourage yourself. And David encouraged himself and he went to God and he said, God, what do I do? Shall I pursue? And I love God. You know, we got God as some little teddy bear up in the sky. Let me tell you what God said. God told David, he said, David, I want you to pursue. He said, David, I want you to overtake. I want you to recover. I want you to go get everything that you lost. That's a word for this church. You're going to have to get a mentality that I'm going to move forward out of where I am, but I'm going to go back and get everything that I lost. God told him, he said, you chase them down. You chase them down in the deserts. You drown them in the river. You do everything you got to do, but you go get your stuff. You go get your wives. You go get your children. You go get everything that belongs to you. And that's my mentality this year. I'm going to get back everything that the adversary, that little slimy devil walked into my life and turned me into something in a season that I never was, or made me do things I shouldn't have done and I lost something in God. I'm getting it back in 2025 because God said pursue. And David goes and he gets everything back. And you know what's amazing is the story says they burned all of his houses down. But when you keep reading the story, you know what it says? It says David got another house. God gave him back a better house. Because when God restores, God gives it back better than where you lost it. And you know what else you don't see in the Bible after that? You don't see nobody taking David's stuff ever after that. You know why? David developed him a new structure. He learned how to look out this eye one way. He learned to look out with this eye one way. He learned how to listen back over his shoulder this way. He learned how to handle business in front of him, but make sure he wasn't going to get attacked on the side or from behind. And I'm telling the POPC, we got to learn some new structures as to how we deal with our life and how we deal with God in our personal relationships, in our decisions, and the minute we move forward. I wish I had somebody that would say, "Preacher, I'm stretching out my bad hand. I'm stretching out my withered hand. And I'm going to step forward in God today. And I'm leaving all the stuff in my past behind. Because God said pursue." And the minute you do that, God reaches back. And He pulls into the present what you can't never get until you move forward. Would you stand? The three principles of this story is that if you want your future restored and you want God to reach back into your past and pull it to your present, you got to move forward. That's point number one. And we got people under the sound of my voice right now. You're stuck. You know, you can act like you're distracted with people walking around and you can act like you're not listening to me. I know you're stuck. I can watch how you worship. I can watch how you respond. You're stuck. Don't get caught up in all the noise going on in here. That's just what Satan wants you to do. But God wants you to be restored. And God's the only one, David. I can go back to my yesterday because I can't go there. I don't have the ability to live in that place. God can go. And God can pull it to my present if I move forward. There are some of you that are hung up in bitterness, in unforgiveness. You've got shame in your heart. There's some of you, you need to forgive yourself. And you need to take a step forward. The second thing he did, oh Lord, it's amazing, is that he stretched out that withered hand. You know, we like to hide ours, but he didn't do that. I want you to know this morning, you can stretch out any weakness in this house, and you'll have no judgment coming from me. Church folks are folks that judge people. People that have a relationship with God, they don't judge folks, because they know their stench is just as bad as your stench. And they know their failures is just as bad. And most of the time, the ones that are judgmental, they got stuff in their closet that nobody knows about. Oh, y'all not going to say nothing. And the third thing this man had to do is he had to separate himself from that crowd by stepping forth. And you have to separate yourself from the crowd, because sometimes it's the crowd of people you run with that causes you to lose the stuff in the beginning. I told y'all when I went to that Bible study at Maxwell Air Force Base and they were preaching on the oneness of God, I took four or five of my buddies the first week. The second week it was three of us. The second week it was me and another guy. And the fourth week it was me. I had to separate myself from the crowd because I felt the Lord saying, "Come on, come on, I'm calling you." Whether you know it or not now, this is going to be a house of restoration before this year is over. You're going to know God's in the midst of this house. And He might use me to be the example. And if He has to use me,
for you to see it. I'm okay with that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If I got to be the one, I'll do that. But God is going to restore. I included, right here. And it's going to start with the head, and it's going to flow down to the beard. And it's going to run down to the garment. And it's going to get on the phrase at the very bottom. And God's going to bring restoration back to this house. And the person that walks in our last Sunday morning service on December the 30th, 2025, that don't even know us, he's going to be able to walk in here and grab the very fringes of that garment. And he's going to be able to get restored. It's going to flow through this body. This year, I got some withered things in me I got to give to God. Anybody with me? Anybody in here got a bad hand? I got a bad hand. Something in me's not right. I got to bring it to God this morning. Come on, sir. I know you're okay going home with it, but Jesus ain't. Come on, sir. I see you in the back. I know you didn't reach out to me, but you've grown comfortable with that dysfunction and that problem, but I don't want you to have to live like that. I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I come that you could be the head and not the tail. I come that you can be a child of God. You've got something that needs to be restored. I think it'd be a great time to just come to this altar. If you feel like you've lost time, God can give that time back. If you feel like you've lost years, God can give those years back.
I need you to restore it, God. Thank you.
There's something that needs to be birthed. There's something that needs to be birthed in this service. And you need just let it out. Just let it out. Just let it out. I need some ladies to travail. I need some ladies to talk to God.
Sometimes we go through some really heavy stuff.
That's right.
And it's for our growth.
Yes.
What's happening right now is for your growth.
Jesus.
For the growth of this church.
I receive it.
I love most of the time.
Receive it.
There's been a gift that I hadn't been operating at.
I had it when I came here. And you're right.
That's
what's happening. You're right.
He's got his hand on it.
Oh, he does.
It's going to be okay.
It's going to be all right, bro.
It just might get a little messy before it gets okay.
It's going to be okay, man.
But at the end, it's going to be fine.
For the growth.
You're right. That they will